Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. So, you guys, I went to the John Mayer concert on Sunday with my sister, and it was incredible, as he always is, because he's just the best. Don't come at me. He is. Don't even argue. And it is Tuesday when I am recording this right now, and I am so tempted to go see him again tonight or tomorrow night. I'm just so tempted. You guys, it's been like, here's the thing. I started listening to John Mayer when I was in my very early teens. And so he's like the Beatles to me. The hair, the music, the guitar, the voice, everything works. Anyway, if you haven't seen John Mayer live, you should definitely see him live because he's a fantastic performer. He puts on such a great show. So yeah, did that this weekend. I feel like I've been working a lot, which is fun. And I made some cakes this week, which I was very excited about. If you didn't know, I make cakes. I make cool cakes. You can see them on my Instagram. But yeah, how are you all? What's going on? You know, I need to read more. I usually am so good about reading. I usually read a lot, nearly every day. But with school being so intense lately, I haven't wanted to read when I'm done with work. So I have to find a way back to it because I haven't even read a full book this year, and that is so unlike me. But I think it's also just there's so much going on, not only in my life, but in the world, and it's hard to concentrate. So if you have any good tips, would love to know. Today on the show, we have Mike Manning. You may remember him from being an Australian snowboarder in the DCOM Cloud 9, which I'm a DCOM lover. I love my DCOMs. They're the best. You may also remember him from Days of Our Lives, or maybe you're watching him right now on This Is Us as the Manny. So here is my conversation with Mike Manning. And welcome to the show, Mr. Mike Manning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I was looking at your extensive resume before getting on here, and you have made like quite the splash. I mean, you've been working like nonstop since you got here. So I'd love to know how you got in the industry, what made you want to become an actor, and like what those first steps were.
Yeah. So my origin story, I really like comic books, so I'm probably going to just keep going back to talking about comic books. I had a really interesting beginning. I started doing theater when I was younger. When I was like 13, I did theater in high school. I did community theater, and I knew I loved acting, but I didn't really understand. I grew up in Colorado, so I didn't really understand that you could make a living being an actor. It just didn't click in my brain. So I started going to school for business, and my best friend in college said, "Hey, Mike, I'm going to this open casting call for a reality show. Do you want to come with me and help me get on the show?" I said, "Sure, why not?" And I went with him and ended up getting on the show. And I had never seen the show before. It was called, still is, it's called Real World on MTV.
Amazing. So, one of the, like the first house-like show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and for me, in my opinion, that was literally the universe just like taking me and putting me back where I belonged. I think I was going into school for business, and I sort of was unhappy with it, and I felt like I wasn't fulfilling my calling. And I think it was just the universe just taking me and putting me, being like, "Hey, you're supposed to be an entertainer." And so I was on the show, and I had a manager in Los Angeles reach out to me and say, "Hey, you have a good look. Have you ever considered acting?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I did it when I was little." He goes, he's on Facebook, so he's Facebook messaging me.
Oh my gosh.
He goes, "Move out to LA, give it 6 months. I'll make you an actor. I'll make you a star. Do it." And I packed up my car and I drove, and that was 12 years ago almost.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty incredible. I mean, just to like go back to the whole Real World thing for a second, what was that like for you? I mean, you're from Colorado. You probably haven't been in front of a lot of cameras like that before. So what was that like? I mean, it must have been a little jarring.
It was absolutely jarring. It was sort of the best acting school that I could have hoped for at that time, because they throw you into a house and you live there for three and a half months with these strangers, and you have a camera in your face the whole time. You're wearing a microphone basically the whole time. And you know that this is what you signed up for. You understand that this is your life now. So you either tense up and are very nervous, or you just kind of let loose and say, "Okay, this is my life. I need to become comfortable with the camera. I need to ignore the crew that are there." And I felt like that was the best acting training I could have asked for, because then I just became so comfortable with having a conversation like this and having a camera right here and pretending that it's not there, which in my opinion is half the struggle sometimes when you're on set. Like, it's one thing to be an actor and to do your to rehearse your scene with friends or in a comfortable environment or in the mirror or whatever, but it's another thing to have that same level of vulnerability and sort of calmness about you on a set with 300 people staring at you while you're doing it. And I think that's half the battle. And so that was a really great first step for me to get used to that.
Wow. That's so interesting. So you move out to LA, and then what's like, you have this manager and you're out in LA. Mm-hmm. What's that first like job that you book from that manager, or was it from that manager? Like, what did he do in that 6 months?
So my very first ever audition was for the Power Rangers.
Amazing.
And I went to an audition, and then I got a call back, and then I went to producers, and then I'm testing in front of the network to be the Red Ranger. And I remember going to my manager, and at the time I was younger than I am now, and I was a bit more cocky than I am now. And so I turned to him and I go, "Wow, this acting shit is easy. Like, everybody says it's so hard. This is so easy. Like, I'm about to book my first job I went for, and I signed the contract, and it was more money than I thought I would be making in my first year in Hollywood. And then I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then it was the next 5 months were, it was nothing. It was no callbacks, no nothing. It was just auditions and nothing, auditions and nothing. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, because I'm kind of a mama's boy, and she kept saying, okay, sweetheart, like, if you want to come back home, you can do that. Like, come back home. And I remember talking to her, and it was like 5 months and 2 weeks. And she said, so, sweetheart, you said it was going to be 6 months. Like, you ready to come back home yet? Like, you did. I'm so proud of you. You did it. Like, but like, come back home. And I said, no, mom, I said 6 months, and it's not 6 months yet. And the very next week is when I booked this tiny little film. And it wasn't big, but it was enough to keep me in town and to keep trying. And then over the last, 11 years, it's just been climbing the ladder and doing bigger projects and bigger things and saying yes to different opportunities and really, working my way up. And because of that, because of the struggle and because, it took that long, I think I have more of a respect for it.
Yeah.
And I think I have a respect for others trying to do the same. I teach acting classes sometimes just because I love teaching younger actors about how to embrace themselves and love themselves and not be so hard on themselves, because, you're an actor. This industry is crazy sometimes, and it's the highs are really, really high. The lows can be low. And
like 95% of it is out of your control.
So. It really is. It really, really is. So I started producing a couple of years after I lived here, and being on the other side of the camera and running casting sessions myself and hiring other actors myself was such a great eye-opening experience for me, because I realized exactly what you just said. I would sit on the other side of the camera watching this actor do their best in this audition. And sometimes they would give amazing auditions, mm-hmm. but they looked too much like somebody we just cast, and we couldn't yep. have the audience think that they were brother and sister, or they were, something completely out of their control happened to where we couldn't cast them. And I just wanted to follow every actor out of the room, be like, we're probably not going to hire you. Yeah. We're probably not going to hire you, but you were so amazing. Like, good job. And that's just, and so then at that point I was able to start taking it less personally myself. Mm-hmm. And that helped my psyche a lot in terms of dealing with the rejection that comes with this job.
Yeah. And then tell me a little bit about Days of Our Lives, because I was on the show when I was a child, but what is it like as an adult?
So Days, it's funny. I've tested and gone to Chemistry Read or Network or whatever for all of the four remaining soaps. So mm-hmm. Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful. I've been into that office for Days of Our Lives so many times. And I was like, I'm probably not going to get it, but I'm just going to go in and have fun. And I ended up getting the role. I signed my contract March 10th of 2020.
Oh, gosh.
March 13th is when the world shut down. And Hollywood shut down. So I spent all of pandemic not knowing if I had a job, not knowing. And like, my insecure actor brain was like, oh, they're probably going to, change their minds. They're probably going to cast somebody else. They're probably going to rewrite the role. Like, I spent the pandemic thinking all these things, and I couldn't tell anybody either because I didn't want them to post about it.
No.
Because Days, I was a brand new character and on this brand new storyline, I wasn't replacing anybody. So they wanted to keep it all under wraps. So I couldn't really tell anybody. And
oh my God.
So I in the pandemic, I was just like, I don't know if I have a job. I don't know. And when I got that call in August that they were going to start shooting me September 1st, I was like, yes, like, great. Like, I still have a job. This is a nice way to come out of the pandemic. And September 1st, it was one of the only shows that was shooting at that time. A lot of the other shows weren't shooting. So I was working where a lot of my other friends who are on series or whatever were still not working. And mm-hmm. And it was I was really grateful, really lucky. I was on Days for like 9 months, and then I did something like 50, like 5, 60 episodes, something like that. And then they killed me. And then they brought me back. And then they killed me again. So,
of course they did. I mean, that's what happens on soap operas. Like, you either are constantly dying or you're constantly, like, being replaced by other people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. And I was a bad guy, and I kind of knew that the character had a shelf life, so I didn't take it personally that they killed me. The fan response was really cool. I was a bad guy, so I thought, okay, you know, these people are going to hate me. They're going to be mad that I hurt one of the people on the show. That's a fan favorite, whatever. And the fan response was actually really, really nice. A lot of them were like, okay, Mike, my character's name is Charlie. They're like, all right, Mike, we love you and you're doing a great job with the role. We don't like Charlie.
Yeah.
Like, if Charlie dies, like, we want you to come back as something else, whatever it was. But the fan response has been really, really nice.
I will say soap opera fans are tenacious. I mean, they're the most loyal people. They will follow you your entire career and they will not let up. And it's just incredible. I mean, that community is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you got on This Is Us, which is one of the best shows ever made. It makes everybody cry every single week. Mm-hmm. And you play the Manny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the Manny.
How's that?
Well, it's funny. So my parents have been supportive over the years, and they always love what I do. Like, I did this Disney movie, and my mom bought DVDs and had me sign them for, like, her friends and her. Like, they've been supportive. But it was This Is Us that, in their mind, that's when I made it. Like, I called them and I told them, and This Is Us is their favorite show. It's like the one show that, like, if my dad goes out of town, my mom cannot watch it without him, or else they'll get
it. Oh my gosh.
Like, it's their show. And so when I told her who I was, and also that I was the Manny, because she loves Kevin, she loves Justin Hartley's character, mm-hmm. And that I was, like, sort of replacing him on the sitcom, and then that he was playing the dad, she was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't wait to tell all my friends. And so it's definitely gotten me brownie points with my parents. And but it's cool. It's fun to be a part of the show. The show's been really welcoming, and NBC in general has been great, because they do days as well. So yeah. NBC's been really nice to me the last couple of years.
It's got to be funny to film a show within a show.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of bummed, because I think it was last week or the week before. I had this scene where we're filming the man. It was like thus showing the sitcom, and we're filming the Manny in front of a live studio audience for the show. So it's like the show within the show. And I had this whole comedic thing where I'm with Justin, and like he's balancing the babies, and I like he turns away and faces the audience, and I take my shirt off, and the audience claps, and we had this like whole shtick, and apparently the episode was too long.
No. So
they cut a lot of that out. So like I'm sitting there watching it and ready, and my parents are watching it and whatever. And because my mom was like texting me like, can't wait to see it. And she goes, so is that it? I was like, where do you go? And she goes, you were barely in the episode. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
oh no, mom.
Yeah. So thanks. Thanks, mom.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So you talked a little bit about producing. I'd love to know, you know, what made you decide to get into that side of the industry? I feel like a lot of actors now, myself included, have decided to take their careers in their own hands by producing and directing and writing and all the things. So I'd love to know what that decision process was like for you. And if you have any pointers out there for, you know, the listeners out there, if there's actors who are thinking about making that plunge.
Well, if there's an actor out there thinking about making that plunge and creating their own content, I would say 1000% do it. Because it will, like you said, allow you to, so much of acting is waiting by the phone for permission to be a part of somebody else's world that they're creating. And something happens when you, for the first time, you create your own world and you invite other people to be a part of that world. You sort of take some of that power back and some of that desperation, and it makes you a stronger actor. It makes you less desperate. It makes you, you know, more confident when you are talking to others about, you know, it's not, oh, I haven't had an audition in 6 months. It's, oh, I just shot a short film with some of my friends. We're submitting it to these festivals. We just got accepted and I'm having a great time. Mm-hmm. And so it just changes the sort of the trajectory of your own career. And, and then also like on the flip side, it teaches you so many things about the behind the camera stuff that actors should know, but they don't. And so it just, for so many reasons, I would say, just go out there and do it. I know that it can be daunting. We just released a film called Slap Face, which is doing really well right now. And that one, you know, I found the script through a friend of mine. I worked with the writer director on the script and we got it to a place we both loved. I raised all the money. I shot all the thing. We cast all the thing. I oversaw post-production and editing and I helped sell the film. So it's like from soup to nuts, like it was my baby. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I can now say like, that's my baby. And I put it out into the world and, you know, and it was also a character I really wanted to play. It's so great. It's so great to do that. But even on that set, you know, I've produced 14 movies now. That I finished Slap Face at the end of 2019, right before COVID. And even there were a couple times on that set where I looked in the mirror and I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing? This is, I haven't slept in 3 days. And
you don't sleep, especially when you're acting as well as producing. There is no sleep. You just power through somehow. Yeah. A lot of Red Bull.
Yeah, a lot of Red Bull and caffeine. And so I remember looking in the mirror being like, what are you doing? And I just wanted, I was like, oh, maybe I should just not go to set today. Maybe I should just quit. Maybe I should, my body's tired. My brain is tired. But I feel like that is when, if it were easy, everybody would do it. And that is what those moments of weakness turned into strength are the ones that separate the actors that are out there working and pushing and hustling from the actors that are sitting at home waiting for somebody to give them an opportunity.
Preach. I'm here for it. When is the TED Talk?
There you go. Yeah.
You've made some really good points. And like, for me, I love finding things that I can make with my friends. Mm-hmm. And really, when you look at the grand scheme of things, like you look at somebody like Judd Apatow, and that's what he's mm-hmm. done. He's just made movies with a lot of his friends. He just got lucky by having hits and getting mm-hmm. the studio money and being able to make it on a big budget and make bigger things over and over again. But the filmmakers that, you know, we all love and care about, like the James Gunns and the Judd Apatows and all of those people, they just do it with their friends. And mm-hmm. so to start doing that now, I think is like the best thing that you can do for your career, because those friends are going to then want to put you in everything and you're going to want to work with them and everything. And it's just going to mm-hmm. create that little community, just like these other huge filmmakers, where mm-hmm. you all grow together and expand.
And it's also, it gives you a freedom to stretch yourself as an artist more than I think acting class does. I love acting class. I think every actor should be, if they're not on set working, they should be doing that, because that, you know, allows you to stay sharp. You know, acting is a sport. And if I'm a football player and I don't throw a football for 6 months, my first day back on the field, I'm going to be a little rusty. And so, right. you know, I think actors need to do that. I think when you're on set and you are with friends and you're working with a director you're comfortable with, and it's maybe a script that you helped work on or something like that, you will be in a relaxed state of being, and you will allow yourself to take more risks and try new things. And maybe those things will work, maybe they won't. And they'll end up on the editing room floor, but at least you tried those. And there have been times, Slapface, I'll go back to that experience with Slapface, because I had such an ownership in the film as a whole. When I worked with our director, Jeremiah Kipp, there were so many instances where he said, okay, Mike, try it this way. And I did. I took that note and I ran with it. And sometimes it worked and it was amazing. And I was like, wow, I've never done that on set before. I want to take that into my next project. I know that I can get there. I can go there. I can stretch myself like that. And then sometimes it didn't work. And I'm like, okay, nobody's ever going to see that again. And then moving on.
It's very true. I mean, it's a completely different experience when you're, say, you know, being a guest star or a co-star on an established television series, and you go in knowing, here's my job, I need to leave after that, they're probably never going to see me again. Mm-hmm. Like, go in, go out, easy peasy. But mm-hmm. when you're making it yourself, you do have those allowances where you're able to, you know, do what we really love to do as actors, which is just play mm-hmm. and figure it out and mm-hmm. see all the idiosyncrasies that are involved in every single character and the relationships. I mean, it's such a more freeing experience to be able to do that. And I think it's that way with a lot of indie films too. Even if you're not on that side of it, most indie films that I've been a part of have been that way, where it's like, let's do something weird with this, or let's try this over here instead. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're able to do that with friends and you are producing it and you give them that opportunity, I mean, you know this, there's something magical when you get to play pretend on a set. And if you give friends or you give others that opportunity, that's going to mean something to them. Mm-hmm. And of course they're going to try to, you know, bring that back to you whenever they can. And like you said, the Judd Apatows of the world, like just building that community of people that you can play with and be with and support. Cause this industry is hard enough as it is without friends that can support you and help you and be there for you. And so, yeah, I think it's producing and working together is a really efficient way to do that.
We're going to take a quick break to hear an ad from our friends over at With Nothing to Say.
I'm Austin Lugo.
I'm Andrew Harp.
This is With Nothing to Say.
And let's talk about movies. With over 3,000 films log, Andrew and I, best friends since middle school, have dedicated our lives to watching, making, and talking about movies. Each week, Andrew and I handpick a movie he's seen, I've seen, or neither of us have seen, and dive deep into anything and everything to wannabe cinephiles could ever think of. From horror to dramedy, we do it all. So join us as we talk about everything movies, and maybe you too can become a bona fide cinephile.
So on this show, we like to share audition stories of things mm-hmm. that have either gone awry or something funny that's happened in the room or the one that got away. Is there a story that you would like to share with the listeners?
Sure. I would say It'll be a two-parter. It's for when I audition for Cloud Nine.
Okay.
And the Disney movie. It's a Disney snowboarding movie. And at that point, I think I shot it like 9 years ago or something. It was one of the bigger projects that I had ever done. So I count it as like one of the career stepping stones for me. And before that, I'd only done one other Disney project. It was a show called Crash and Bernstein, and I played a foreign exchange student. So, and that was one of those auditions where I just went there and they wanted somebody with an accent. And my good friend at the time, Lachlan, he's Australian. So I said, "Hey, Lachlan, like, let me speak with you in Australian for 3 days before my audition." And I went in there thinking, "Oh, I'm not going to get this job, but I'm going to have fun." They ended up casting me. So I played this Australian foreign exchange student on this Disney show. So 6 months later, we'll say, I don't know if that's exactly the amount of time, but a couple months after that, I got a call that they wanted me to come in and audition for Cloud Nine. And originally, they wanted the role to be Australian. So, and I had never met these casting directors. I had never met these other people, but they had seen my episode of Crash and Bernstein. So I decided to commit, and I went in there, and down to the person that let me in the parking garage, to the assistant, to everybody in the elevator, I was speaking Australian the entire time.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't get out of it. So I had an audition, I had a callback, and then I had my chemistry read with the other actors, which was also the network test. And so I walk in this room and there's like three Disney executives, two casting directors, two writers, the director, the two assistants, like this room full of people. And then there's Dove Cameron, Kiersey Clemons, and Luke Benward. And they had all been cast on the show on Cloud Nine. And I was the last sort of person that they were casting. So we're all doing our scenes. We're just hanging out. And I leave the room. I come back in and they're like, "Oh, Mike, like..." So they stopped me right in the middle of the audition. And this whole time I'm speaking Australian.
Yeah.
Australian accent. So they're like, "Mike, we're so sorry to do this to you. We just, you know, we're just talking and we just need to make sure, like, how's your American accent?" and I was like, "What?" And they're like, "Can you do an American accent?" And immediately I switched out of it and I said, "Yeah, of course." And they said, "Wait, what? Where are you from?" And I said, "Colorado." And because like the whole time I'd been like, "Hey, how's it going? Like, my name's Mike. Like, I'm just going to stay in the Australian and this is just my life and like who I am and blah, blah, blah." And they're like, "How's your American accent?" "It's good. Fine." And it was, I think it was that moment that booked me the job. The whole room's quiet and everybody looks at each other. And it was that moment where they're like, "Wow, we can throw anything at this kid."
Yeah.
And he will be our actor. Right before that, they had Dove Cameron and I improvising with each other, and we had done the scene. I think we had done one scene, we had done another scene, we had, you know, sort of they threw another scene at us, and so I'm doing this like cold read just to like see as much as they could in the room. And Dove had this little thing on that had like little feathers on it, and they just said, "Hey, now in this scene, like, do whatever you want to do. Maybe improv if you want, like, whatever you want to do, just try it." And we're going, and she goes and turns and like flicks this thing up, and one of the feathers, like a tiny little feather, comes out, and I inhale it. And and I think had I been less experienced, and had I just been like, if I were new to LA, that would have terrified me, because I'm sitting here coughing and choking in front of this room full of people that I'm hoping to hire me, and I'm like but I took it, and it's like you probably had this, it's like it was a happy accident, because they all saw the feather, I inhaled it, I choke, and then I just took it and I ran with it, and I went to her and I was like, "This is why I tell you not to wear these little feathers. Like, I know that, you know, I know you wanted me to buy this for your anniversary. Not only was it way too expensive, but you have," and I just like ran with it.
Yeah.
And I think that was what showed them the chemistry between Dove and I. And that was the other, I think it was like the 1-2 punch, like changing the accent and then improvising with that little feather in my throat, with Dove, I think was what got me the job.
You just never know what's going to happen in that room. Absolutely.
You never know when a feather. You never know when you're going to be choked by a feather.
You can be as prepared as you possibly think you can be. And then things will literally just be thrown at you. Or, you know, inhaled. That was fantastic. Great story. Great story. I love that you went in there fully Australian and said, I got this. And they were like, no, bro, we want you to be American now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was, I couldn't have asked for a better, because then I'm like, crap, am I going to have to do this entire movie Australian in Utah filming and snowboarding and all this stuff? So it was like the perfect scenario. I could just be myself and, you know, this character and snowboard.
I did that once with a film. It was a cute little indie film I did called The Kitchen, and I was supposed to play like a total ditz, like Phoebe style ditz. Mm-hmm. And I thought, there's no way they're going to hire me if I go in as my like sarcastic normal self. There's just absolutely no way. They're not going to see it. Mm-hmm. So I went in as the character, did the whole thing, like acted like I had no marbles in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I booked it. And then I called my manager and I was like, what do I do? I can't do this for, you know, a month on set. Like, this isn't normal. I can't do that. And he was like, well, just be yourself now. And so I showed up to like the wardrobe fitting and I just was myself. And then I showed up at the table read and the director comes up to me, and apparently the director and the wardrobe designer had been talking, because he was like, so I heard you fooled all of us and you're like really smart and read Shakespeare. And I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. It's like, I liked it a lot. It had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it works.
And it works. And they respect you, I think, more because then they know how much work you put into building this character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was this director, he or she, were they surprised? Were they a little nervous?
His name's Ishai, and he was so funny about it. They just all laughed, and like the casting director was laughing her ass off. I mean, they were all just so shocked by the fact that I completely fooled them into thinking I was just the stupidest person on the planet.
Great, great.
Like, wow. I went into like auditions being like, oh my God, it's just like so beautiful outside. And they're like, uh-huh. Like,
oh my God. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a cool story.
Well, I'm so excited for you and to see what you're up to next. What do you got on the slate? Anything coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. So This Is Us is still airing right now, and I have some more stuff on that. So that'll be fun. And then I just did this film earlier this year called The Bellkeeper with Randy Couture. And it's sort of like an action horror film. And I actually got to work with Colton Tran, who played my best friend in Cloud Nine.
Oh, fun.
He was the one that was directing this one. So it all came full circle. And so we just shot that, and that should be out sometime later this year, I think. And then I'm shooting another film next week.
Awesome. Well, that's all very exciting. And thank you so much for coming on the show and spending your afternoon with me.
Jillian, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Thanks again to Mike Manning for coming on the show. Make sure to be watching This Is Us to see his face pop up more. And tune in next week. We'll have Sydney Morgan on the show. Very fun chat with her. Excited for you to hear that. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post some really cool stuff, so check it out, watch it. And if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, I don't know what you're doing. Hit that subscribe button, leave us some love, give us those reviews and stars. I would like to continue doing this, so please help me do that. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.